You are tuned into Business Sense on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
Now, our shapeshifter tonight is Zinzi Galeka, who is the Head of Strategy and Innovation for APSA Insurance Company. Having joined APSA from FNB in 2010 and served in various functions within the bank, her current responsibilities involve strategy formulation and monitoring, driving transformational change and leading innovation initiatives, among other things. She is a keen driver of change and enthusiastic about supporting the APSA Group in its transformation agenda, and has served on the Employment, Equity and Skills Development Committee, the Women in Risk Forum, and now chairs the Women in Insurance Initiatives for the bank. What a CV. And she joins us this evening. Good evening, ma'am.
Good evening, and good evening to your listeners.
Yeah, how are you today?
Very well, and happy to have a warm evening after that cold snap.
It's been cold.
I was wondering what season we're in.
Yeah, it almost felt like we're in Cape Town. Apparently, in Cape Town, you can have four seasons in one day. Hey, eh?
Absolutely, we've got a taste of it up here in Johannesburg.
Yeah, it's been very, very cold. And yeah, at least today we got a bit of, warm weather. But besides that, busy day today?
Oh, absolutely. You know, the year-end rush,
yeah.
And one event after the other, and, you know, the competing demands. So
yes.
It's been an absolutely manic day, if I can call it that. So,
yeah.
Very excited to be here today just to connect with yourself and your listeners.
Ah, beautiful. And we are very excited as well to have this conversation. And I was saying a little bit earlier on that now I am tired, honestly speaking, for the rest of it. I'm ready to start 2024. Like, you know, I hope it has good things for me next year, but I'm tired of this year. I think my tired for the rest of the year is already like done. I have nothing in reserve. You know, ready
nothing
to
in the
nothing. Like I'm gone. Like I'm one of those that are gone for this year. But hey, we push till the last day. By the way, before we even start, just on that particular point, how do you? I mean, I think we can maybe young people as well can also learn from you as well. How do you deal with that year-end fatigue?
You know what? I think this is a common challenge for everyone, entrepreneurs, corporates. You know, specifically in the hub, you know, the economic hub up here in Joburg. Sorry, can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Okay, fantastic.
Yes.
And I think for me, you know, it's just being able to rise up in the morning. I know it's tough, but, you know, rising up in the morning and just taking a walk when it is silent is a secret there. There is a secret that just fuels me for that last stretch. And so that's my secret, and it's been working for the past couple of weeks. I'm hoping I can maintain this in this in the year to come. So I'm fresh when everybody's starting the day. I'm already a couple of hours ahead.
Yeah.
And it really gives me the energy that I need to get through the day.
I've copied that strategy. Just take a walk in the morning. I should do that. You know, this thing of waking up late, maybe that's what makes us very tired even, you know?
That's it. I'm telling you. And you don't have to stress yourself. You do not have to run. No, there's no need. Just walk.
Sure.
Just walk around your surroundings, and, you know, you actually take in the simple things in life. The beautiful leaves, and, you know, you get to see things you wouldn't see if you drove past them, and that's just, for me, so energizing.
No, I've copied that. I'm definitely gonna try that. Wake up early and just take a walk instead of waking up to rush to bath, rush to breakfast, rush to get out of the house. You're in a rush, Njie, until the end of the day, and you're tired by the time you come back to it. Zinzi Galeka. And I know a lot of people might know you, but when people ask you, tell us a little bit about who you are, how do you even answer that question?
Sure. You know, it depends who's asking.
Yeah.
I suppose it depends who's asking.
Yeah.
I mean, I think I've had such a colorful and interesting life.
But
sure. Just a bit about myself.
Yeah.
Born and bred in, you know, the northern and deep parts of KZN.
Sure.
And so I'm a proud Zulu woman.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, so I've had experiences of it all growing up in the remote parts,
yeah.
Moving out to the, you know, at a very young age, moving into boarding school. I think I started boarding school at the age of 4, simply because there were just not good schools around the rural area that I grew up in. And then I was in boarding school all my life, came up to Johannesburg straight off the matric to come
yeah.
and dig for gold.
Yeah.
You know, and that's how my career began here in Johannesburg, just looking to succeed. I am a mother of 3 handsome boys,
yeah.
oldest 16. Last is 1.5,
yes.
So you can imagine juggling between adolescence and a toddler. Also married.
Yeah.
I have a close-knit group of friends, which
yeah.
I just, you know, find that that's really my wealth, you know. And so I enjoy life. I enjoy traveling. And I'm happy to be alive. I'm also studying, so I've really got a mixed bag.
Sure.
Of activities that are happening in my life, and that's pretty much who I am. I'm inspired by
yeah.
things around me.
Yeah.
I'm hungry for more.
Yeah.
And you know, I take life. I take life as it comes.
Oh, that's beautiful. What are you studying, by the way?
Come again.
Pray tell, what are you studying?
Oh, what am I studying?
Yes.
Oh, I am currently studying. I wanted to reconcile my experiences as well as, you know, the number of courses that I've taken. And I decided, look, the natural course is to go for an MBA, but I just wasn't keen for an MBA at the time, looking at my life stage. And I just wanted something similar but different. And
yeah.
so I was quite fortunate to find an international master's that I'm studying through McGill's Business School in Canada.
Yeah.
And so I'm closing out that qualification. And I'm really, really grateful to God. I actually have an interesting story around that, because I'd absolutely given up on finding something that I liked, that connected with,
yeah.
that spoke to me. And I found it, and it closed, you know, the applications were closed, and I still decided, you know what, I'll submit my CV. And of course, being a mother, I ran off. I was already late from picking up my son from school. I arrived, you know, to work the next morning. I have an email saying that we'd like to interview, and I thought, Wasn't this closed?
Yeah.
And the rest is history.
The rest is history, right? And I think this important context is one that I want to bring just back to our listeners, that Miss Galega is actually a wife to Amani Mgeni. And for those of you who are, of course, loyal listeners of the show, you'd remember that Amani was our shapeshifter back in April. So someone's saying, talk about power couple vibes. So there you go. Power couple vibes there. So that's amazing. Now, let me take you back then to back in the in KZN. What were some of the challenges that you faced as a person growing up there, as a young person, but also what did you see in the community that you lived in as socioeconomic challenges?
Yeah, sure. What an interesting question. I think, you know, so I had quite a mix in terms of how I grew up. So picture being a family of, you know, on my maternal side, my grandfather was the mayor of the township that I was in, and quite a staunch Methodist, believer, and he planted churches, in KZN. And he was really, really there for the community, advancing the needs of, the people, being the voice of the people. So, you know, growing up, seeing that, and also just the poverty around us and some of the things that he wanted to do. And on the other side, you know, my grandmother, the same, very entrepreneurial in spirit, you know. She passed away at the age of 93, and still at the age of 90, she was traveling, you know, chasing deals. And that's just the sort of family I grew up around. My mother was also entrepreneurial.
Yeah.
Her sisters were entrepreneurial.
Yeah.
My dad was entrepreneurial. So that was sort of my background and my context. And I knew that, you know, they just had this hunger to create something for themselves.
Mm.
And that's sort of the hunger that I also developed, you know, just what can I create? And so, as much as I'm in corporate, funny enough, I'm always just looking for other opportunities. Mm. What else can I do? What? Mm. How can I advance, you know, the people that are around me?
Mm.
You know, just to go back to my childhood, you know, a standout event. In 1998, our home burned down.
Sure.
You know, my cousin, you know, we didn't have a globe in one of the bedrooms, and we had a candle, and we just hadn't managed to replace it. And you know how it is with kids rolling about and they sleep. The house been the blanket caught fire, and we lost our home. And you know, shortly after that, that's when I learned the power of insurance, actually. You know, because that's when you realize that when you manage your risks, you know, there's something to fall back on. And so that's always been sort of a standout. And I remember that as much as my grandfather was instrumental in the community, and we had a number of people come to our home for help, you know, it was just lovely to see that there were so many people out there to help us in our moments of need. And that's when sort of my family sort of spread out, because we were sheltered in different places just as we started rebuilding our home. So it really is a mixed bag around what are some of the things that shaped who I am, my experiences, you know, my childhood. I was also fortunate or unfortunate, really, because like I said earlier, I have been in boarding school all my life. So as much as my family was spread out as we were trying to rebuild, I had to go off to boarding school, and often wondered, remember back then we didn't have cell phones. I didn't know, you know, how the family was doing until the end of the term, and you see how, you know, how we've been able to rebuild.
Sure. So the experience of boarding school, would you say it has anchored you into being the person that you are today?
Oh, yes, definitely. You know, being in, and I know that this wasn't a choice, a first choice, rather, that my mother would have taken to put me in boarding school. But what it did is that it taught me to be independent and make my own decisions at an extremely young age. Remember, I said I went to boarding school when I was four. And at four, you need your parents. You need your parents.
Definitely.
And so I was surrounded by other kids. And remember, it was still back in apartheid. So there were areas we couldn't go to. There were things we couldn't enjoy. There were toys we couldn't play with. So, you know, just, you know, building a camaraderie with the other black children, finding ways to cope, you know, starting to make those small decisions. You know, I remember I had lost a tooth, and the tooth fairy didn't arrive. And when my mom came and she had a 50 cents, you know, the big round 50 cents, I already had plans for that 50 cents. So, you know, you really, you know, think differently, do differently, and it had really a big influence in who I am today. Would I recommend it? Yes,
Oh, okay.
But not at a young age.
Yes. Okay. Okay. That's interesting. I mean, I think it's perhaps one of those things that a lot of parents would want to do, especially if they are leading very busy lives and all that, because I mean, having to juggle everything might be difficult. But there's always the fear that, hey, what if this child turns out into someone I don't know, you know? So especially if I'm very far from them and can't tell what happens, you know, in their own lives. So that's really interesting. So coming to Josie, university life, what did you study and why?
You know, so remember I told you I then left KZN after matriculating and I went straight into work. And, you know, the reason why was because my mom had worked so hard to get me through high school. And unfortunately, she just didn't have the means to quite get me through. And in fact, in Standard 8, there was a pause in my schooling because the school said, hey, you know, you've got such a big blow, we can't continue. And so I'd missed out on Standard 8 and I had to sort of catch up. And so I knew already that, sure, university was not something that was going to come easy. So coming to Joburg really was just to build the funds so that I could start with university, you know. And I started at UNISA and I picked up what was then called Communication Science.
Yeah.
You know, as the years went on, I developed quite a good fund and I then studied psychology through VIT.
Yeah.
That's my true passion. My true passion is people, understanding the mind. And so that's what I picked up at VIT. So I did it over 4 years and it's a degree that I use now and I definitely want to use towards the latter years.
Sure, that's interesting. And then do you remember your first job? How was it?
My first job was helping my mother in a a catering gig that she got.
Yes. Okay.
You know, say again?
No, I'm saying that's interesting.
Yes. And so he had gotten a, you know, a contract to provide food for some municipality staff members. And so, you know, I was helping her with that. So that was my first job where I didn't earn anything. But, you know, my official first job was at Vodacom.
Okay.
My official first job was at Vodacom in Bryanston as a call center agent. And so that was really taking calls, you know, from customers looking for their PAC number.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, those were always a thing. Hey, those PAC numbers were always a thing.
PAC numbers. So that was really my first job. And so fortunately, it was local, so, you know, it had the standard working hours, whereas there were other friends of mine who sort of worked for other multinationals, so they had odd hours, you know, they had odd hours. But I was with Vodacom.
And from there, where and how did you even get to be head of strategy at APSA?
Yeah, so it was an interesting journey as I sort of transitioned out of Vodacom. I then went into FNB. And I think for me, I was just never content. I wanted more. So whatever role I was in, I always put my hand up for something different, something I didn't know, you know. And, and that's, I think, what made me sort of stand out and put me forward for other roles. I then went for a golfing event, and at that golfing event, I met someone, and we were just chatting, and she said, "Hey, I really like your attitude. I like where you've been. There's an opportunity, you know, at APSA. Would you be keen?" And that's how I was poached out of SNB to EPSA. I came into the insurance business. But how I really came into the strategy space was I got into a chief of staff role, and you know, a chief of staff role will really expose you to the end-to-end business, and you really can choose where you want to go. Do you want to go deeper into HR? Do you want to go deeper into marketing? And so strategy was the one that I gravitated towards. So I didn't have an official qualification back then, but the experience, you know, that I got from it, I thought, sure, I've got to back this up. So that's how I landed more in the strategy space. Today, you know, I'm in the insurance, the EPSA insurance space, heading up strategy, because I just garnered so much experience over time around leading a business, thinking strategically, understanding, you know, what's going on in the economy, and looking forward, and it's something that I quite enjoy. I love the challenge. Yes,
I've always wondered, people who are strategists and, you know, strategy this and that, what do you guys exactly do?
We need the business.
What does that even mean? Like, we know doctors operate on people. You know, we know accountants always count the bins and cents in the bins. But you guys are strategy. Like, what does that even mean?
So in simple terms, it's giving the business strategic direction. So why does your business exist? You know, you need to clearly articulate, why does your business exist? What do we want to achieve? And if we've started that particular business, how do we stand out in a competitive environment? I mean, just in simple terms, even if you're selling potatoes, you know, and your neighbor is selling potatoes and carrots, so what is your strategy to take over that market you're in, to stand head and shoulders above your neighbors, right? So then it's right. Where can I get the cheaper potatoes? Right? What's coming down the line, you know, around me, you know, in the market, that can influence the price, that can influence the place that I'm in? You know, what does my store look like? Is it different from the other place? What kind of relationships, strategic relationships, am I creating? You know, can I supply, you know, a pick and pay? You know, so it's really just thinking about what is happening around me, you know, that is influencing my business, and what are those decisions that I'm going to make to ensure that I succeed in this market? Right? And so year on year, we give strategic direction on that. So it's really reflecting, where are we, you know, where do we want to be, and how are we going to get there? What are the plans that we're going to put in place to get there? And how are we measuring and monitoring to make sure that we actually reach those goals that we have for ourselves?
Yeah. One day when you have time, please help us understand what's happening with X. There's something there. We don't understand that industry. Why are X like that industry? You know, when you have time to help us strategically understand what's happening there, please, one of these days, because, wow.
That one is very simple.
Yeah. Oh, look, okay. Pray tell. What's happening in that industry? Like, yo, X have become a pandemic.
And here again, here's where a strategist is important, because a strategist will ask, all right, what if one day we have a shortage of eggs?
Yeah.
How will your bakery survive?
Yeah.
Those are the things you need to think about.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
You know, so when we're hit with bird flu, right?
Yeah.
Of course it's going to impact the number of eggs that are produced. And the few that we have, you know, it's gonna shoot up the price, you know. And then how do you control the supply that you have? so that it doesn't disrupt, you know, your key players like restaurants and bakers and hotels and stuff like that. So people that are in strategy really have to think even in the future and how you manage your risk to stabilize your business.
Yeah, it's almost like every year. The other day it was potatoes, tomatoes. Now it's amakanda. That day it was fish oil. Like, it's just a lot, you know. So really, we need you guys to help us understand that thing. Do you find that even in your life, your corporate strategic skills also come through in your own life?
Yes. And I've been often criticized.
Yeah. I can imagine. We are forever thinking forward for us, man. Let us leave, please.
I'm always trying to do a bit of a situational analysis.
Hey, look at that.
And what is this? What could this mean for us?
Yes.
And how do we dodge that bullet?
Yeah.
And more than anything, I'm always thinking around solutions.
Yeah.
Right. So here's the challenge. How do we solution for this thing?
Yes.
And then when we solution for it, okay, is this thing working? And if it's not, how do we pivot?
Yeah, can you imagine?
I've been criticized quite often.
Sure.
You know, especially by my better half.
So
let's relax.
let's just leave, please. Yeah. If you had to just look at one specific challenge you faced in your career, that one you look back at and you're like, yo, I never thought I'd go through it and maybe even pass it.
Sure. That's an interesting, there's obviously a range. But I think, you know, I had the opportunity, I was so blessed to have the opportunity to travel into Africa, right? Into our Africa operations. And, with where we are in South Africa, you want to sort of go into the other countries with those ideas, right? This is what's working in this context. This is how we're doing things. This is how we're building our business. And you want to sort of lift and drop, and it's not that easy. In your mind, you just think, of course it works. And I'm going to be well received, and I understand the challenges in this particular country. But these different countries have their own ways of doing things, you know. And they have, you know, I've come to learn that everything is contextual. Just because it's worked in this particular region, it doesn't mean it's going to work in the other. And so, you know, that could hamper the speed at which you're able to deliver.
Yeah.
And remember, you would have committed to say, you know, these are the things that we're going to deliver. But, you know, the regulatory space you find is different. The pace at which the businesses work is different. The leadership structures are different. You know, the economics are different. And so it impacts, you know, how you would do things. And I think that for me was the biggest challenge if I just reflect back on that particular era in my life. You know, how to make a success of something if you previously don't have experience in that particular context.
Yeah.
And it's a learning I'll take with me, forever.
Yeah.
And I think it's having, you know, it's interesting moving around in different contexts and, you know, quickly trying to understand the lay of the land. You know, you fly out of South Africa and you land in Zim, you quickly then go to Zambia, you know, just quickly assimilating what's happening here, how am I valuable here, and how do I relate with people, you know. Quite a big challenge, but a wonderful challenge and a great learning over my career.
And the one highlight now?
The one highlight, again, is that. The highlight for me, I would have never scripted it. Being able to travel and just really take in all these experiences for me is the absolute standout of my life. I recently traveled out to Brazil. And, you know, I had my own preconceived ideas of what Brazil is like. And boy, those are always blown out, you know, when I arrive and I think, sure. In my mind, a typical Brazilian was X, and I thought this is how things would work. And walking, I love walking. I love walking. That's the first thing I usually do when I travel. I just put on my techies and walk and just really take it all in. And so that's really been the highlight of my life, the highlight of my career, being able to travel and gain different experiences from different people. And it's funny, I enjoy being in different time zones, even if I'm here in South Africa, just connecting with so many friends and families that I've collected along the way. That's really been my highlight.
That's lovely. That's lovely. Okay. As we draw to an end, obviously this is a business show and we love money and we love talking about money on this show. So I'm going to get to that part. What's your relationship with money? How would you define it?
So, you know, it's been a roller coaster ride.
Yeah.
Our relationship is a roller coaster ride filled with learning. You know, we talk to one another.
Yeah.
The money talks back.
Yeah.
The money talks back to me, and I'm like, this change is strange.
Yeah.
You know, and so, and I suppose it's also, you know, if you just think back, as you know, the term of black tax, even you got to think about just not yourself, but about your siblings and your community around you. You know, my husband is East African, and so, you know, there's a big sense of community, you know, there. And so the community really looks after each other. And so my relationship with money has changed in that sense, that I know that it's not for me and my family, you know. It's about, it's for me, my family, and my wider family and the community, you know, around us. So what am I setting aside to help? You know, and so it really has evolved over time, and I'd say it's matured, you know, it's matured over time. And, you know, there were principles that I really wish that, you know, I adopted at a young age, but, you know, it's never too late.
Yeah.
And those are the principles that I'm passing down to my kids.
Yeah, that's exactly my next question, to say, what is the one lesson you telling them about money?
Yeah, so I'm quite clear that one is non-negotiable in a nice way. You know, I wish that I understood the power of saving and the power of tithing at a young age. I'll tell you why. You know, when you give your child money, I think that concept of, at a young age, if I give you 2 rand, putting aside 20 cents, it goes a long way, because as they grow doing that. That's the first thing. The second thing is giving. So getting up from your, so I go to church every Sabbath, and getting up from your seat and going to the front and giving your money, that act is such a powerful act, because your child will at a young age understand the need, you know, to do that. So I wish, those are some of the things I adopted. I also, you know, I challenged the Lord, because, you know, as I grew, I realized that, you know, this money, you know, it's God that has given me this money, and you know, I'm just a steward and a conduit for this money. You know, my father-in-law, what an amazing man. I said to him, sure, you know, I'm really struggling to give 10% from God, because I thought, this is crazy. There's so many things I could do with this money. And he said to me, he traveled out to the States and he came across a gentleman who had completely turned around his life. And this is what he said to him.
Hmm.
He said, "Do you want net or grass blessings?"
Sure.
Immediately from then, you know, I never sure. questioned. I give 10% of my grass as tithe and 10% grass as offering. And I cannot tell you, what God has done for me. Things
sure.
that I never conceived in my mind.
And
here's the trick. You can't think that, oh, because I am tithing or giving offering of 20, God is going to multiply my money. No. God does so many other things that you never ever thought about. And so that's why for me, even when money is tight, I tell my elders, I say, because they'll say, "Yo, I've got so many responsibilities this month," and I say, "It's non-negotiable." You know, it's just non-negotiable. You've got to give back. And so when you teach them at a young age to give back, let's say you give them an allowance of 100 rand, you know, it's 10 rand and it's small, but as the you know, the money grows, you know, across your career, it becomes easier to give. It becomes easier to give.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So those are some of the key principles that I'm teaching my kids, so that, you know, it's a legacy I leave with them, and it's something that just comes stock standard as they grow.
Let's wind it up by this one. What advice would you give to your younger self?
So, you are activating me at the end.
My apologies.
I've got so much, you know, the reflect on my life. You know, I'd really say the advice I'd give my younger self, the importance of designing a life and career strategy. So important to do that at a young age, so you don't get lost along the way, and you don't get, you know, other people determining your trajectory in life, right? I'd also say, be clear on some of the roles in your career that you take. So why am I taking this role? You know, do I want to learn? You know, do I want to apply my learnings? Do I want to stretch myself, you know, stretch opportunities? I'd also say, you know, the biggest investment you should ever make is an investment in yourself.
Yeah.
Never, ever, ever overlook that.
Yeah.
So your personal development, your professional development, make that investment. Nobody can take that away from you. I'd also say, you know, to myself, it's so important to create multiple income streams, you know,
for
your own economic emancipation, so that you're not relying on, and this is where I want to use my psychology qualification I was telling you about earlier. You know, my heart breaks when I see our beautiful young girls, you know, depending on men for money.
Yeah.
You know, and so just creating those multiple income streams. I remember when I was at Vodacom, I was selling bags.
Sure.
You know, that is my side hustle.
Yeah.
You know. And I think I'd also just say, you know, empower yourself with knowledge and exposure. You know, take yourself out. Get out of your province.
Yeah.
You know, get out of your country. See different things. See how people are living, you know. And you just never know where it will take you.
You might never know.
Be clear about your purpose, your passion at a young age, and be persistent. Just don't give up. Persist. Keep knocking. And you don't know when God will open the door.
That's true. That's true. Young people that look up to you, what would be your message of encouragement to them? Particularly, you know, like you said, we live in a world where a lot of young people, to a greater extent, depend on men, and being vulnerable to abuse by men because of that.
Yeah. You know, I'd say, be clear on your on what your values are. And I think this is something that you find in the corporate space, but you don't do it for yourself.
Yeah. Right?
So what are your values that are going to guide you in your decision making in life?
Yeah.
Right. And so you won't. So you'll find that you just won't fall for the many things that come. So be clear. You know, who am I? What do I stand for? What do I believe in?
Mm.
What is my trust system? Be clear on those things, you know. And again, you know, I just want to say persist. Try things that you, the things that are wild, go for them. Go for the wild things. And don't be influenced by what you see around you, right? That mindset. You know, I said earlier on about how in Standard 8, my mother couldn't afford to take me to school. And you can imagine sitting there day in and day out, everybody's going to school and you're not.
Yeah.
How you quickly find yourself in a dark hole. So that that ability to take yourself out, like Paul did, take yourself out of that situation and look beyond it and where you could be, you know, is critical. And then lastly, pray, pray. I cannot, you know, stress that enough. You know, build that relationship with the Lord, and it will take you to places you've never been.
Sure. I think I love how we've ended that. Pray and build that relationship with God. Ma'am, I think there's still a lot to discuss, but the biggest jealousy, you know, time is always that thing. It's jealousy of these beautiful conversations. But thank you so much for sharing with us this evening, and may God bless you and family as well, and may you continue to lead and help you flourish as you go forward. We are inspired, and I know my listeners as well are also inspired.
Thank you kindly.
Have a good one.
Be blessed.
Be blessed as well. Of course, that was Mrs. Zinzi Kaleka. They're talking to us this evening about her own life and how she got to be where she is. Pray, pray, pray. Build that relationship with God.
You are tuned into Business Sense on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.